Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of The Sixth Man. I'm your host, Josh Riley, and we are in the midst of the first round of the playoffs. Quite a few exciting matchups going on, and the playoffs so far have not disappointed. Let's give you a quick recap. In the East, where we have the Bulls as the 8th seed battling the Celtics in the number 1 seed. But the Bulls have made a little bit of history because they are the first 8 seed to go up 2-0 in a series against the number 1 seed. So there were some issues as far as maybe the Celtics being a weak number 1 seed. You know, I love me some Isaiah Thomas, but it looks like the Bulls are peaking at the right moment, and maybe it helps that Rondo is playing in his old building with a former Boston Celtic, because he's definitely playing like the Celtics version of himself, which is trouble for everyone else. Now we got further in the East, we have the Pacers and the Cavs, with the Cavs currently up 2-0 with Game 3 going on right now, tonight. Cavs getting blown out, actually. We also have the Wizards and the Hawks, and the Wizards are up 2-0 in that series. And then we have the Bucks and the Raptors, and that series is tied at a game apiece. Moving out west, we have the Warriors and the Blazers, and the Warriors are up 2-0. We have the Rockets and the Thunder. Rockets up 2-0. We have the Jazz and the Clippers. That series is split at a game apiece. And then we have the Spurs and the Grizzlies. Sorry, that series just sounds so incredibly boring, I could not stifle a yawn. But Spurs are up 2-0 in that series. Now, there are a couple of matchups I want to talk about specifically and get a little deeper into. With starting out west, with the Rockets and the Thunder. Now, this was billed probably as the most exciting series to watch, purely because it features the top two MVP candidates in James Harden of the Rockets and Mr. Triple-Double himself, Russell Westbrook, on the Thunder. So everyone was like, this would be like a good barometer to see who should really get MVP, who's really better, all that stuff. All the storylines were being created. And in the first two games, it has become painfully apparent that the Thunder don't really have anybody else to back up Westbrook. I mean, if you look at all the successful teams in the league, you have your main guy, your franchise player, and you have your number two option, your sidekick, your Robin, if you will, to whoever that team's Batman is. And for the Thunder, you can't really pinpoint who that is. Is it Victor Oladipo? Is it Steven Adams? I mean, we don't really know who it is, because there is so much inconsistency outside of Westbrook, and he can't be a one-man wrecking crew the whole time. He did it for 82 games this season, and that's not to diminish anyone else on the Thunder. But, for example, in Game 2, Westbrook had a triple-double of 51 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists. It's the first time that there's been a 50-point triple-double in the postseason, and it's the most ever scored by the Thunder. And they still lost. So that's why, where's the help going to come from? Fact is, no one else on that team is really contributing or has really been as big a focal point as far as their win total has as Westbrook has. That's just indisputable evidence. And so the Rockets are exploiting that for sure. They are showing they are a much deeper team. I mean, you can just start with the first two guys that come off the bench. You got Lou Williams, who's a former Sixth Man of the Year. You got Eric Gordon, who has started on every other team and is coming off the bench this year and most likely will be Sixth Man of the Year. And then they just have a plethora of shooters. I mean, it's insane. You thought Golden State had shooters, which they do, but Houston is showing that, hey, we can play that game too. And they are just shoot lights out from three, and then you got James Harden, who is becoming quite the triple-double man himself. And they have a deep team. They have big guys that can bang on the boards. They got their resident pit bull in Patrick Beverley as the defender, the guy willing to get a little dirty. I don't like him, but I can see how his mentality and his style of play fits on that team. And so they are definitely exploiting the lack of depth that the Thunder are displaying. And I think they're in real trouble. You know, we might be looking at a sweep. They might be able to get one game out of them, maybe two at the most. But I don't see the Thunder winning this series if they keep playing the way they've played. Now, moving over to the East, I wanted to talk specifically about the Wizards and the Hawks. I know it's not really, you didn't expect really that kind of that matchup to be brought up, but I wanted to talk about the Wizards more specifically. The Hawks, I don't know, they've kind of played uninspired basketball all season long. Dwight Howard showed flashes of his old self, but he's also been largely inconsistent. And you have Paul Millsap, who is a model of consistency, and Dennis Schroeder have probably been your best players, with Tim Hardaway Jr. showing flashes as well. But if you look at the Wizards, I'm looking at John Wall, for one, who I think is should have been an MVP candidate for what he's done for the team this year. This is the first time that I've truly seen him play like he's one of the top 10 players in the league, and actually, and me watching it and actually believe it. You know, he, after the All-Star break especially, he's really propelled the Wizards to the one of the top teams in the East. And right now, with them being up 2-0 against the Hawks, they're showing no signs of slowing down. Also, his backcourt mate Bradley Beal is healthy for the first time in a while, and has been healthy for quite some time, so they finally be able to build up some consistency and some chemistry. And that they look scary. they just look really, really good right now. And John Wall is playing out of his mind. I mean, I love his game. I love watching him play, and he is just playing with so much confidence right now. He really doesn't think anybody can stop him at all, and he's, so far, he's been proven right. And so I've been really impressed with the Wizards. I mean, for, and especially for the city of D.C. with, you know, all the instability and craziness going on over there. It's nice to see some positive success and some good consistency and things like that going on with them. So I got the Wizards coming out the first round on that series, you know, with John Wall kind of being, he'd be my dark horse MVP if I had to choose one, just because he's been on the cusp of superstardom for many years, former number one pick and everything. And I think now he's finally starting to show his full arsenal, and that is translating to him successfully leading this team to the record that they have now. So I can't wait to see how the playoffs are going to further progress. This has been a very exciting first round so far. Now we got the Cavaliers and the Pacers playing tonight. Cavs currently getting blown out in Indiana, but a lot of people, you see that coming. It happens. So that's it for me on this episode of The Sixth Man, but I will keep coming back, giving you updates on the playoffs as things progress. And until next time, I am your host, Josh Riley, and this is The Sixth Man.